From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Congress votes for a children's health insurance program again. Will the president veto again? Plus, from the broadcasting world, Don Imus returns to the radio and a reality TV bounty hunter fires off the N-word again and again on tape. It's all in today's Reporters Roundtable, and we've got Corey Dade, Atlanta correspondent for The Wall Street Journal, Janet Rodriguez, reporter for The Virginian Pilot, and Ernie Suggs, urban affairs reporter at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Hi, folks.
Hey, Fry.
Hi there.
So let's talk about the S-CHIP. Congress has approved another version of the state children's health insurance plan known as S-CHIP. And in a press conference yesterday, the president promised to veto.
This week, the majority in the House passed a new S-CHIP bill that costs more over the next 5 years than the one I vetoed 3 weeks ago. It still moves millions of American children who now have private health insurance into government-run health care. After I vetoed their last S-CHIP bill, I designated members of my administration to work with Congress to find common ground. Congressional leaders never met with them. Instead, the House once again passed a bill that they knew would not become law. And incredibly enough, the Senate will take up the same bill next week, which wastes valuable time.
Ernie, are we caught in a feedback loop? What's going on here? What's the difference between these two bills?
Well, obviously, I guess the first point that the president made is that he's not budging on these. And I think we're caught in a political maze of the Senate and the Congress and the House trying to legislate leverage over the president on this bill. And the president doesn't seem to be budging. The president is very adamant about the fact that he didn't approve this first bill. He wasn't a fan of it. He asked for a negotiation, which apparently didn't happen. And they came back with the second bill that he has promised to veto. So I think we're in a kind of political stalemate that the president is going to probably win.
Corey, this expansion of the bill was designed to be funded by increased tobacco taxes. And the president apparently met with Republicans in a private meeting and said that he would veto any bill that increased tobacco taxes. Is that an important factor or kind of a side argument in this?
I think it's a side argument as far as public consumption is concerned. It's certainly a frontal argument, and front and center as far as the political wranglings back and forth. I think going forward, you know, looking here in Georgia, for example, you know, you have two Republican senators who oppose expanding the plan, and the truth is the plan here in Georgia will run out of money for new enrollees next month without an emergency infusion or an emergency appropriation. So going forward, I think when you look at the tobacco lobby and how powerful they are, they will always have a say. I think going forward, the question is, who's going to blink in this game of chicken? And I think at this point, it's probably something that the news media really should look at when a highly unpopular president continues to have the political capital to veto a bill like this without the public coming forth in some kind of uproar. And perhaps it'll happen in the ballot box next year. Who knows?
So, Corey, if, in fact, your region is going to be affected by this, are people, whether it's people who are ordinary citizens, people who are local officials, taking this up as a cause?
No, not to the point of critical mass. What's unique here in Georgia, as well as in other states, is that a lot of the people who rely on this type of program, poor people, so-called working poor, et cetera, many of them are not Democrats. Many of them are conservatives. Many of them support the war in Iraq. But what kind of on a mass level, whether you look at news coverage or just talk to people person to person, what's interesting is that there is a disconnect between their political and social beliefs and the fact that the people they put in power, in this case, the Bush administration and the Republican Congress before they lost their power, they have not delivered on the quality of life issues. And so here we are, the people who are actually opposing the expansion of this plan in the House and in the Senate and in the White House are the people who were voted for in Georgia. And so the Georgia voters, many of them, they actually do themselves a harm by continuing to support the people who are not delivering their services.
Janet, do you have the same kind of split in Virginia where people who might be conservatives in one sense who are also on that working poor, lower middle class line are affected by this?
Yes. One of the curious things here in Virginia is that we have some people in the House who are against increasing the CHIP program, and then you have Senator John Warner, who is you know, a high-ranking Republican who is for it. One of the things that Governor Kaine here in Virginia has made a point of saying is that without the funding approved by Congress, Virginians who are receiving health insurance through this program aren't going to be covered. And if correct me if I'm wrong, but apparently the $5 billion increase for the program put forward by the Bush administration is not going to be enough to cover the people currently enrolled in the program.
Ernie, how do you see this playing out in the future? Corey mentioned maybe this will come up in the ballot box next election cycle. Is that really when this is all going to have its reverb?
Probably, but Corey also made a good point that I guess he didn't make the point, but the point that the president is very, very resolute in his actions. He's been that way since we elected him, or since he was elected in 2000 and reelected in 2004. Corey's laughing at me, but he's always been very resolute in his convictions and actions, and I just don't see this. It may play out in the ballot box, but I don't see this being a big hurdle for him going down the stretch, because he's going to veto it, and he's always done that.
I want to roll together two stories that have been making headlines in the world of broadcast. So first off, Don Imus fired in April over his comments about the Rutgers University women's basketball team. He's going to be back in December, comes back to morning drive time on New York-based WABC. And then also reality TV bounty hunter Dwayne the Dog Chapman gave his son a talking to about dating black women. Let's take a listen to that. So,
not because she's black. It's because we use the word sometimes here. I'm not going to take a chance ever in life of losing everything I've worked for 30 years because some heard us say and turned us into the Enquirer magazine. Our career is over. I'm not taking that chance at all.
So, according to Dwayne Chapman's lawyer, his son sold the audio tape to the National Enquirer. We have had a lot of race in the media recently, whether it's the noose incidents, the N-word. Corey, when you take a listen to this guy, the bounty hunter, who's not exactly being elevated in his show as a moral paragon, but as a sympathetic guy, is this a reflection of, I guess, a desensitization to these racial issues? Are we learning anything from these incidents? And how does that relate to someone like Imus, who had a much bigger platform?
Well, I think different people learn different things. I was actually, last night, I was going home, and I was at a traffic light here in Atlanta, downtown Atlanta, and next to me was a car with two white gentlemen in it, and one was railing to the other about whatever, and I focused in for a second and heard him blaming African Americans for any manner of trouble downtown, and started hurling the N-word all around. They're the problem, as I pulled off when the light changed. So no one's shocked by it. I think what you learn in these circumstances, and I think what the bounty hunter very, very well demonstrated, is that it's not that you can't necessarily have these racist views. It's that you can't let them out in the wrong company. And his point was, not because she's black, it's because we use the word here frequently, which is to say, it reminds me of Do the Right Thing when Mookie is talking to one of the brothers, one of Sal's sons in the pizzeria shop. He's like, Magic Johnson is black, but he's different. He's not black, he's different. And so there is a disconnect. People desensitize themselves against the N-word, in part because black people use the word too, but also they somehow are able to create this dissonance between what they actually say and what they believe. And so they would have people believe that using the word, if you are not black, doesn't mean that you're racist. And so I think going forward, we're going to continue to see this come out. And I think this is an example where you have people who are not celebrities, people who are not trained journalists, having their lies revealed to the public. You're going to see continuing examples like this where their true colors come out, pardon the pun.
Ernie, Imus is getting his show back. Dog the Bounty Hunter is having his show put on hold. What's the standard now for how media companies treat people in terms of their behavior around race?
I think it's the standard that it's always been, how much money they bring in. And Imus brought in a lot of money. I don't think a lot of us were surprised that he's actually back. A lot of us are surprised that he came back so quickly. But Imus has always been a cash cow for whatever company he's worked for. And Citadel Broadcasting capitalized on that, and WABC is capitalizing on that. I'm sure his sponsors at some point will capitalize on it. So it's a lot of it is about money. I'm not a big I don't know anything about this Dog the Bounty Hunter. I've never watched his show, but I'm not going to watch it now. But you know, I think it's about money, and it's about I'm not going to say image, but you know, about what you can do to affect the bottom line.
Let me get Janet in. We only have a little bit of time. Do we expect more scrutiny or less over time of these various incidents that come up around race in the media?
I would say we can expect more. I'm just interested to see how this A&E Dog the Bounty Hunter is going to play out, because apparently the show, I didn't know this, it's apparently one of their most popular shows. So we'll see how long it's off the air or out of production. Apparently, it's still running.
All right. Well, Janet, Ernie, Corey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Janet Rodriguez, reporter for the Virginian Pilot, and she spoke with us from member station WHRO in Norfolk, Virginia. We've got Corey Dade in Atlanta, correspondent for The Wall Street Journal, and Ernie Suggs, urban affairs reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Both of them joined us from Georgia Public Radio in Atlanta.